Welcome to Data Science Now, a podcast by Cluster, about the latest trends in data science with your host, Fabio Vasquez. On this episode, we'll talk about the history of data science, from its beginning and advances to the latest trends and future of the field. Follow us on social media at Cluster Team. This is Data Science Now.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of Data Science Now. This is episode number 2. Right now we're live here on LinkedIn as a LinkedIn Live. So we're going to be here every Wednesday, so take note of that. And tomorrow or Thursdays, we're going to have the podcast on Spotify and several other apps and also as a newsletter. So make sure to be ready for my newsletter tomorrow, and make sure to follow me on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram to get that. So what's the topic of the day? Today we're going to talk about the history of data science. I've been talking about data science for a while, and after wanting to predict what was going to happen, I mean, I was asked from several people to talk about what's going to happen next year, or what do you think is going to be the next trend for data science? I was going to happen next year or even this year. But then I started thinking, do I really know the beginning of my field? I know when I was studying physics that we have a very clear idea of the beginning of the field from Galileo, from Newton, from Kepler, and we have all this history through Einstein and through all the advances we have in physics. So we really know where we're coming from. And I started thinking and digging, do we really know where we're coming from in data science? So I discovered several articles and some timelines that was kind of telling me the idea of where is this field coming from. But I felt that there was not an exact solution or maybe an exact diagram that represented the way I saw or the way I thought about the field. So I think it was in August last year, my sister and I, Hazel, we started together building a new timeline. And I published that in an article called Building the Future of Data Science. You can find that online. Again, if you want the links for everything I'm going to tell here, tomorrow in the newsletter, you're going to get all the links. So when I was thinking on what was the start of data science, I had to think about, do I really know what's data science? And in the last podcast and the last session and in several articles, I've been discussing the meaning of data science. What do we do? And after having a clear picture of what's the idea of data science, then you realize that you need to take information from several fields, like computational physics, computer engineering, you need science in general, you need software engineering, you need stuff about math, calculus, algebra. And when you put all of this together, you realize that our timeline is kind of complicated. This topic was very interesting for me. And so we created this timeline. We published it a while ago. And luckily, a few days ago, someone sent me a message through LinkedIn that they created this timeline with links now. I'm going to have the link to that there too, to that post with all the links. And it's the same type of post, the same picture, but you can click in every one of the points through the years, and it will take you to the articles or different parts that I've been discussing here. So let me get started with this diagram. Hopefully you know what the diagram is. If you don't know it, you can, and you're, if you're on your phone or your computer right now, you can search on Google data science timeline. And I think the most important picture you're going to see, it's the one I created with my sister. So the beginning of the field, I put it in 1943 with an article about neural nets by McCulloch and Pitt. This is a very important article. And think about, this is 1943. Okay, so after 1943, I mean, we were in a very early stage for computers at that time. People would start thinking, like, how we can start implementing systems or algorithms that can help us understand better the information we have. And I think the next point that I put, the paper from Shannon, A Mathematical Theory of Communication, it's an amazing article that you have to read. If you really want to understand computer, how a computer works, and how to build systems for computers, you need to read that article. Again, it's called A Mathematical Theory of Communication. That article extends a lot about what's information, what's the entropy of information, how you transmit information between things. And it's one of the most important articles in the development or signal theory or telecommunications and all the things we have right now that we take for granted, all of them, I think most of them, take the theory from that article. After that, we have an amazing article by Turing in 1950 called Computer, Machinery, and Intelligence. In that article, I mean, if you don't know who Alan Turing is, he's one of the fathers of computation. And in that article, he started thinking about what are the thresholds for computers? I mean, do we have limits there? Is it gonna be an expanding thing that we're not gonna get to a place where we can differentiate a computer from a human being? So at that time, and with other articles, he created something called the Turing test, and he just called it the test because he did not call it the Turing test. And in that test, he imagined a way of us as humans always being able to tell when a robot was talking to us or a person. So this tells you about what people was thinking in 1950 when you think about computers. I mean, they really knew that it was going to change the way we saw things and we use the world around us. After that, we have a lot of, I mean, just a disclaimer here. This timeline cannot contain everything we have. I mean, it's not going to be an easy picture to draw, but I think we took the most important parts in the since 1943 to 2019 in this picture. But of course, there's more things. And I've been talking about with people that recommend that, hey, you missed this article or you missed this part here. And we're going to make sure to have a second version of this timeline with some additions. But I cannot add everything in this point. So I'm going to go forward to 1962 with an article from Tukey. So I wrote an entire article called On Data and Science, where I talk about that article from Tukey. And he started thinking about the difference between doing statistics like with your hands and just a simple calculator, and start thinking about what's the future of statistics with computers. What are we going to do in the future when we have all of these intense computer programs and all this power? And he realized that what the field should be going is to a place of machine learning and algorithms and all of these different things. So he thought that statistics should be going in the direction of data analytics. I think this was the first time someone really started thinking about data science. I mean, he did not call it data science. That came much later. But Tukey was thinking about, so, well, we have all this data collected. We have all this information. Now we have computers. We have programming languages. At that time, maybe like Fortran or C. But now we have the power to start thinking about how we can implement algorithms to take more of that information. And he has an amazing quote there saying that he always thought of himself as a statistician, but now he saw himself at that time as someone who really cares about the data, more about the statistics. So I think that was one of the first steps of the data science world that came afterwards. So until that point, we were talking about like the advances of computation. We started getting data, and there was an amazing article by Koff called Relational Databases. So databases that are still in use right now take a lot of the theory and practice from that article from Koff. And that article is very important because he started thinking on how to represent the relationship of our data. He started thinking about how we can represent the information we have in a computer and how we can explode that information. So after that, we had SQL and we had all of these great languages that help us understand the data we have. Let me go forward to 1974, where we have an amazing article called Backpropagation from Werbus. And if you're part of a class on deep learning or you have an idea what's deep learning and neural nets, you know the importance of backpropagation. And backpropagation is one of the key algorithms developed in the last millennia about how we can propagate errors between a net and how can we get started in teaching it how to be better and better and better. So this was one of the most important parts of the development of neural nets for like actual computing important things. Going forward again to 1977, we have an amazing book by Tukey again called Exploratory Data Analysis. If you really want to know about like how to understand data from its beginnings, you need to read that book. I think it's freely available. I'm not entirely sure. If I find it, I will put it in the newsletter. And it's an amazing book about the statistics of data and how can you start thinking about exploring the data you have and you don't understand. We all know that getting data is getting easier and easier. And even understanding data is getting easier and easier. But you really need to understand what you're doing. So sometimes I start wondering, like, what's going to happen in, like, 20 years? Are we going to have, like, all of our information just in, a USB and just put it into a computer and that's it? I mean, that's going to be all the process. I mean, that can be one of the possible futures we have, where we program everything we know in a system and it's just going to do the exploration of the information and everything. But right now, I think even though we have tools to explore data automatically, I think you really need to understand the statistics behind it. If you really want to be a data scientist, you need to know your statistics. You need to understand how to create histograms, how to understand the distributions of your data. You need to understand how to implement statistical tests and all of these things that may be a little old because they're old, but they're still useful. So make sure to read that book. It's a very important one. By the way, I'm here live at LinkedIn, and if you have any question about what I'm talking about, please write them in the chat section on LinkedIn because I'm going to be reviewing your questions and I'm going to be replying to those in the end. Let me take a sip of water. Something very important happened the same year that Tukey published the article on exploratory data analysis, and it was like the International Association for Statistical Computing was founded. So we now have at that time an association for thinking about computer with statistics, and I think that's a very important thing when we start getting together and we start creating systems for understanding better our information, and that's the beginning of a field. I mean, if you really think about what was physics 100 years ago, it had a structure. You can study physics in a university. You can do a PhD in physics. And right now, we're seeing that in data science. We have now bachelor's degrees in data science. We have more courses. We have a PhD in data science. Now, it's getting more systematic. I mean, we now have systems to think about how to study the field. Let me go to 1996. I'm going to miss some points there because of the time. But in 1996, something very important happened. And one of the guys in this revolution is a very active person here at LinkedIn, Gregory Piatesky Shapiro. If you're there, hello, sir. And he was one of the founders of From Data Mining to Knowledge Discovery in Databases. That was one of the most important conferences and books about data science and about how to start thinking about getting information and knowledge from databases. So I know, if you don't know him, he's one of the founders of KD Nuggets. I do have articles there. You can read them online. And this was one of the first important articles and symposiums and conferences we had about really start thinking about how to study data and how to get information and how to discover things inside of data. After that, and I also spoke about this in the article on data and science, there was an amazing conference by Jeff Wu called Statistics Equals Data Science. That was an amazing question he asked at that moment. Because, so let's think about what we were talking about. So since 1966, something like that, we started thinking about data analytics and the importance of statistics and all of that, but we didn't have a science for it. So this professor, Jeff Wu, was one of the first people that thought about what if statistics is becoming something like a science, and what if this science can be called a data science? So I think you should read about that article, and that is actually a presentation that he did from a university. It's a very interesting thing to say in a front, in a room full of statisticians, to think about statistics as a new field or becoming a new field. And so I also spoke about the importance that we think about data science as a science. And if you think about it, if we have a science in our hands, we can do much more things if we only have tools. So if data science is only a tool, I mean, that could be fine. You can do a lot of things with it. But if you have a science, you can really start thinking about creating a system to understand the science. And you have to follow the scientific process. You need to have hypotheses, and you need to have observations, and you need to have the tests, and you need to think about all of these important things that help science become what it is right now. So I think it's important we start thinking about data science as a science. I think I've mentioned this several times before. And if you follow me on LinkedIn or Twitter or Instagram, you know that I've been talking about data science as a science for a while now. So next, let's move forward to 1998. In 1998, there was an amazing paper by some guys named Page and Brin. If you don't know them, they were the creators of Google. In the Google paper, that's what I call it in the timeline, they started thinking about how they can start thinking on indexing the web. What's indexing the web, you may ask? So indexing the web means how can we extract all the information we have, like the billions of pages we have on the internet, into a system where you can easily find information in that. So that simple question led to an amazing theory, practice in a company called Google that now is one of the rulers of the world. So in that paper, I put it there because the beginning of big data, something that was very important for the beginning of data science in the 2000s, it started a lot from that paper where Google starts thinking about how to analyze data in a big scale. Now we have in 2001 two amazing articles. One of them is called Data Science, an Action Plan for Expanding the Technical Areas and Field of Statistics by Cleveland. In that article, he proposed a whole system to study data science. I mean, when I saw that article, I was like, why didn't I know this before? When I was starting to study data science, I was like, I have no idea where to go. I mean, I started doing MOOCs and reading books, but I had no clear path. So when I saw that article, and it was a 2001 article, I was like, why isn't this article famous? So I know not everyone will agree to that article right now, but I think it was one of the it was a great step in moving forward the creation of the field. The same year, something called Breitman, I don't know how to pronounce that last name. If you don't know Leo Breitman, he's a very important person in the world of computers and algorithms. He created decision trees. He created random forests. And all of these things we use all the time, he was one of the creators. But in 2001, he had an article called Statistical Modeling, The Two Cultures. So the cultures of statistics, that was the idea of the article. And he mentioned that there's two types of people in the world of statistics. Like old school people thinking about everything comes from like a distribution and doing all of those things. And the new people thinking about algorithms. He felt that the world of statistics should move in the direction of algorithms. And he was one of the first like data scientists, we can say, because he started thinking about how we analyze data with algorithms and all of these advanced techniques that he created too. I think that's a very important article you can read. It's free online. I'll have the link for that in the newsletter tomorrow. So let's move forward to 2002, where we have the foundation of the Data Science Journal. So finally, we have something called data science in the world. And it's a journal, a very important one at that time. And it was the beginning of a series of articles and publications about the world of data science, like how to implement algorithms to understand data. And just a little bit after that, some guys at Google called Dean and Himawat, they created a paper called MapReduce. So MapReduce was one of the techniques, like the secret techniques that Google used in the beginning to start analyzing data in a big scale. And luckily, these guys made a paper about it. And at that time, it was only like a theory, like, I mean, you knew that they used it, but they didn't put like an implementation detail in the paper, so you really had to read it, and you need to be a master in hardware and software to really create something from that. And the great people at Yahoo did it. And when they read that article, they created Hadoop. And Hadoop is the actual implementation, like the free implementation of MapReduce. And I think at that moment, we really started taking advantage of big data, because we had the chance of really being able to understand data in big scales. So 2006, an amazing year. We have the paper from Yahoo about Hadoop. We have an amazing paper by Hinton called Deep Belief Networks. The Knowledge Discovery in Databases, KDD, was founded by the amazing Gregory Piatecki Shapiro. And we started something called the International Federation of Classification Societies. And for the first time, in that magazine, the word data science appeared in the cover, 2006. So I think that was an amazing step moving forward, like really thinking about this as a serious field. So at that moment, 2006, I think Java was the leader in the world. We had all of these like big programs in Java, and everyone was learning Java at school. But Python was going steadily. And in 2007, the amazing library scikit-learn was created. It took a while to really be in the point where you can use it to really change something or create a good algorithm, like right now we have. But I think scikit-learn was one of the most important libraries ever created for machine learning in the history of the of our field, because it's, I mean, a lot of the implementation details were used by other libraries to like the pipelines, the estimators, all of those things came from scikit-learn, and they're very useful and they're very common in other languages and libraries too. Again, let's put the big picture here. We are in 2007, we have all of this amazing power in computation. We have all these papers and conferences about like we now can use data by databases and we have big data. Big data was the hype of the moment. So a lot of the things that happened between 2007 and 10 were about big data. Like Spark, we start thinking about different things, about implementing things in at scale. We have Mahout, we had all of these Apache programs for really exploding big data. But at the same time, there was some people like there trying to really focus on the other part of the spectrum, like the machine learning part, not only big data, but like the machine learning part. And we have an amazing article by June called The Rise of the Data Scientist. You can find that online, and I'll put the article in the newsletter. We have something called A Taxonomy of Data Science by Mason and Wiggins. I'm going to put that there too. So there was some people start thinking about like, okay, so we have all this information. We have the theory. We have the algorithms. We have like the systems for big data. What is missing right now is actually like the thing that can rule everything into a field. And that's the idea of data science. It's like the ruler of everything we can do with data. It's like the ruler of big data, the ruler of statistics for data. And all of these things came together into a whole field that we now call data science. In 2011, Smith published Data Science, What's in a Name? We started thinking about data lakes with Dixon. We have an amazing book called The Art of Data Science by Graham. And in 2010, before that, we had something that it's very famous called the Data Science Venn Diagram by Conway. So Conway created this. I know you saw that diagram before. I'm going to put that in the newsletter as well. It's like the three Venn diagram where we have computer science, math, and domain knowledge. I spoke about that before. I'm not entirely agreeing with him right now. I think that was an amazing step in the definition of the field. I think right now we know that it's much more than just like the combination of three fields. I think it's a field on itself. I'm not saying it's not taking anything from computer science or domain knowledge or statistics and math. I'm just saying that it's more than that. And I think most of you will know this article that came in 2012 called Data Scientist, the Sexiest Job of the 21st Century. So I think in 2012 was the first time I started hearing about machine learning and data science as a field. And I think most of the world was starting hearing about this from DJ Patil. If you're there, hello, Mr. Patil. You're awesome. And he started talking about like, okay, so we're going to have so much data in the near future. We're going to have so much, so many applications of the field that this is going to be the sexiest job we have. And I think in the years after 2012, we've seen that. We've seen like how data science has been increasing and increasing in importance, both in the academia and also in the industry. I think a lot of schools are starting to open a new program on data science. Now we're getting more people wanting data scientists for their companies. So I think they were very, very close when they started thinking of talking about the sexiest job of the century. Something I missed in 2009 was a paper by Berners-Lee called Linked Data, because I want to talk about the paper from Google about the knowledge graph in 2012. So if you've seen my articles, you know that I've talked about knowledge graphs and the data fabric from a while now. And this is a very important thing, because I think, and I spoke about this in the past, I think this is the future of the field. Now we're not going to stop in like SQL and just simple databases with queries, and then you have a Python script to clean your information, and then you have your modeling, and then you deploy. I think we really will start understanding what's the data. I mean, what's the information we have? And every query should have more information about data. So all of these knowledge databases and knowledge data and linked data and data fabrics, I think this may be one of the futures of the field. And I have a series of like 6 articles on towards data science there. By the way, I want to say hello to Ludovic Benistans. He's the creator of Towards Data Science, one of the best publications we have online for data science. And most of my articles are there. So I think between 2012 and 17 with Data Fabrics, I think one of the most important things that happened was AlphaGo. There's an amazing movie on Netflix about AlphaGo, about like how Google and DeepMind they won a match of Go with the best of the world, Lisa Dole, and they won by using machine learning algorithms. I think even though that's a very specific topic on like gaming or like games and also like game theory, it has a lot of application about deep learning and neural nets and also data science. And I think 2014 with AlphaGo and DeepMind, that was like the first time I really heard or thought about the power of machine learning as a field. And so I think that was one of the important moments of the decade, of the last decade, when we started thinking about, hey, this really, I mean, if this can beat something so hard, like Go, the game Go, with like the best in the world, if we can beat this guy with these algorithms, then we can do a lot more stuff. And I think from 2014 to today, we've seen a lot of great applications. And I think something very important that you should know is that creativity is a key point in data science. I've published an article about how to separate tracks in music using something called the UNet a few months ago. And in that article, I talk about like how to use UNet, a deep neural network, to separate like the drums and the guitars of a song. But the UNet was created to study like stuff from medicine. I mean, they created the UNet to start studying like cuts of skin in the human being to analyze like cancerous cells. So, and now people are using that to understand music. So this is the creativity part. I think it's very important we know. Never let someone tell you that you're not a creative person because you're not an artist or a musician or something like that. Math and science takes and needs a lot of creativity, and you are a key person in the world, and your creativity can change the world. I think if we're able to understand the different papers, articles, algorithms we have, and we can apply them to new systems, that's being creative too, and that can really change the way the world works. So in the last 2 years, we've seen two great things happen. I think the first one is the rise of graph technologies like Neo4j. We have Anso, we have like all of these big databases with graphs. And the other thing was like Python is now one of the most used languages in the whole world. So now it's not only like that language people use for data science. Now it's starting to become one of the most important languages in the whole world. Not only for data science, but as a whole language. So I know there's much more that we can talk about in the history of our field, but think about like all these amazing people, collaborations, companies that have been helping to improve the way our field works. And there's a lot of amazing things that happened that we had no idea what was going to happen. And no one expected like Hadoop. Like, yeah, now we have a free MapReduce. No one thought of that until it happened. So, and no one thought when Spark came out, like, oh yeah, we're going to have like a very easy system for MapReduce on memory. No one expected for Google to say, hey, here's TensorFlow, use it for free. So now we have all these amazing tools in our hands. And I think now is the best time to start learning data science. And there's a lot of ways to do that. And I will be launching courses with Cluster very, very soon in Spanish and in English about that. So make sure to follow us on our social networks. It's at Cluster Team. You'll find us online, on Instagram, on Twitter. And we have a Facebook page too. And here at LinkedIn, you can find us at Cluster. Or you can follow me, and I'm going to be telling everything we talk about. And I'm going to be exposing like what's going to happen next in the future of the courses and much more of that. So I think with that, that's the end of what I had for today. A quick conclusion of what we talk about. Remember, there's no easy path to transform or become something. There's no easy path to learn how to code. There's no easy path to be to become an engineer or a scientist. But if you really want to know where you're going, you really need to know where you're coming from. So studying the history of your field, reading these articles, understanding why was this article published at that year and not before and not after, that's very important. If you have any questions, I'm going to be here at LinkedIn. I mean, you can find me here at LinkedIn, or you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Fabio Vaz. You can find me there. And again, remember to subscribe to the newsletter. I'm going to publish that tomorrow. And this session is going to be live. It's going to be published tomorrow in Spotify. It's going to be published tomorrow in Google Podcasts and all of these places for you to hear it again if you want to do it. Before going, I want to thank my amazing team at Cluster, Gabriel, Aileen, and Hazel for helping me building this show for you. And we have a lot more things to say and talk about. So make sure to stay tuned for more episodes of Data Science Now. See you soon. Bye-bye.